Good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum here on Monday Night Talk. I'm Christine James, your moderator. Joining me to ask questions, of course, is our Monday Night Talk host, Kevin Tachi, and WATD's Charles Mathewson. Tonight, the race is for the 2nd Bristol and Plymouth District. A seat is open with the passing of State Senator Tom Kennedy. Got State Rep Michael Brady, a Democrat of Brockton, and State Rep Jeff Deal, a Republican of Whitman, along with Anna Grace Raddick of Halifax, who is unenrolled, all vying for the seat. District includes all Brockton, Halifax, Hanover, Hanson, Plimpton, Whitman, and in East Bridgewater, Precincts 1, 2, and 3, and Easton, Precinct 1 and 2. Now, it's a little bit different here tonight because we invited all three candidates. Jeff Deal came. He showed up on time. He's sitting here right now. Mike Brady's people, I'm not sure if we ever got a definitive answer from them. Kevin Tachi would know, but Mike Brady is not here, but it won't stop us from holding a political forum. Did we ever get a yes or no reason why?
Well, we got that the fact that we're sending a reporter to do for the Stonehill College one, that's kind of anticipated that is our debate, and the argument was this: we hold our own debate. We are kind enough to send out reporters, so you know, please attend. It's important for you to attend a debate like this.
Yeah, we're attending that as a guest. That's not something we're sponsoring or controlling.
Correct.
But again, we do hope that when people cannot attend our debate, that we get a good answer. Now, the third candidate, Anna Grace Raddick, was invited, said she's on her way, but she hasn't shown up, and she's already a half an hour late. So we're going to get started. If it turns into a Jeff Deal infomercial. That's fine, because this has happened a few times over the years, but that's the way we run it here. So I'm not going to even worry about opening and closing order, because, Jeff, you're going to open, and if Ms. Raddick shows up, you'll get the choice of where you want to be at the end. Our format is simple. The candidates have opening and closing statements, no longer than 2 minutes. In between, we ask a round of questions, including the famous lightning round, where the reporters will ask for either a one- or two-sentence answer or a yes or no. And timing this, of course, is our own Jeffrey Morrissey. Like, the answer is to be about a minute, if you can stick to a minute. And if there's a rebuttal, maybe if you want to rebut yourself here,
sure. That's
30 seconds. So let's start now with Jeff Deal. He's a state rep from the town of Whitman. Your opening statement tonight here in this race for the state Senate seat.
If you can hold the timer, I just have two things I'd like to say
first.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Kevin. And thank you, Charles, for doing this again. I know this is my third time having an opponent, or at least being at a debate that you're hosting, and I really appreciate that. I also wanted to thank the folks at WATD who work behind the scenes. Ed Perry, who runs a great station, it's always a great place to come to talk about the issues and make sure that the public is always aware of what we're working on up at the Beacon Hill. The other thing I wanted to say before I get started with my opening statement was happy birthday to my beautiful daughter, Kaylee Deal, who is 14 years old today, and one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in my life. Second daughter, Emily Deal, not a birthday today, but she's great too. But Kaylee, it's her birthday. I want to say, happy birthday, honey. So that's that. Okay, if I can start my timer.
Absolutely.
Now.
he's got 2 minutes, Jeff.
Great, thanks.
The other Jeffrey.
So the state Senate seat I'm running for is open because of, I think people are aware now, the tragic loss of a man whose shoes will be hard to fill. I was fortunate to know and work with Tom Kennedy, Senator Kennedy, having passed local legislation together, and he really set the bar for constituent service, and I've always tried to emulate that in the work that I do. But this election on November 3rd is very important, and it's going to be about who has a proven track record of working to grow jobs, who wants to keep our state the leader in education, who will protect taxpayers, and who will work for the people, not insiders up on Beacon Hill. And I'm the only candidate in this race who's cut people's taxes. My opponent has voted to increase taxes every time. He voted to double tax on alcohol. He raised the gas tax, increased the sales tax to 25%, hiked utility taxes, has voted for higher fees, and even supported increasing income taxes. Now, on the other hand, as a family man, I know the heavy burden of taxes on a household. Last year, for example, I led the successful repeal of the automatic gas tax hike that would have it would have gone up every year, year after year, with no end, costing taxpayers billions. And I blocked the outrageous legislative pay raises. I also stepped forward to protect taxpayers from having to pay for Olympic overruns. I have a vision for our state and for the Senate district that rewards hard work, takes care of the seniors that we have who made Massachusetts great, also providing a future for opportunity for our children and our grandchildren. And over the past 2 years, I've saved taxpayers close to $12 billion. I will work even harder in the Senate for you. And maybe it's the Eagle Scout in me that thinks that we need to leave the campground better than we found it, but I intend to begin every day working hard to make that a reality for you and your family.
Thank you very much. That was State Rep Jeff Deal of Whitman with his opening statement, a two-minute statement. And, of course, the other candidates are on here, so we don't have opening statements from them. But let's start with questions now for the candidates. And let's start now with the host of Monday Night Talk, and that would be Kevin Tachi. Question for Jeff Deal.
I guess my first question would be, what makes you a better candidate to represent this diverse district over the other two people who are on the ballot?
You know, I don't think that it's necessarily a best. It's just what's the best fit. You know, I mean, everybody certainly who runs for office, I think, has the right to run, and it's the qualities that they bring to the table that obviously voters decide on. You know, the things I've tried to do is, you know, act in a bipartisan manner in the 5 years I've been in office, and I've also offered a lot of ideas. And, you know, speaking of bipartisanship, you know, I've co-sponsored bills like Rep. Cutler, who is right here in this area. He wanted to disallow corporations offshoring profits and avoiding paying state and federal taxes. I was a co-sponsor of that. I worked with Evan Falchuk, for example, who ran for governor as an independent candidate. He and I worked on the Olympics issue as far as trying to protect taxpayers and doing what we could there. And then at the same time, you know, I've offered some ideas that I think have worked and some ideas that haven't been enacted yet that I think we should really try. One of the things I filed back in 2014 for the 14 budget was doing a tax amnesty program where, like other states that had tried this, I thought this would be a great idea. We, you know, had $3 billion in back taxes owed by corporations, and we were able to get that money. And I'd like to do that in continue that, which we are doing with businesses now, incubators for entrepreneurs, more mortgage relief programs, fixing immigration, a lot of ideas for the future.
Thank you. That was Jeff Deal. Oh, now Jeff Deal again. But let's have a question from our own Charles Mathewson.
Jeff, how do you and the other representative, whose name is on the table but that we don't see, how do you get along in the legislature?
We get along fine. I mean, you know, it's I'd say it's a collegial body, and I've certainly been, I would say, pretty effective up there. I've actually passed more local bills and amendments than he's passed in 5 years that I've been in, and he's been in for 7 years. But that's not, I mean, I'm obviously saying that for a reason. But, you know, the thing is, I feel like I get along with everybody up there on Beacon Hill. And I think that, you know, it's important to make sure that you listen to everybody. And I've certainly listened to him. Now, I don't know if whether he's listening to the district as much because, like I said, he's got a record where he's double taxed alcohol, which had to be repealed. He's voted numerous times to have that gas tax go up automatically without a vote, which we ended up repealing. You know, those things don't necessarily mean that you're listening to your district if you're not supporting that. Same thing with the sales tax increase. I don't see that providing a good environment for our economy, for the people that I want to represent and make sure they have more money in their household. So, you know, we certainly get along, but we certainly differ on how we go about legislating up on Beacon Hill.
Okay. How about Tom Coulter? You get along with Tom Coulter, okay?
Sure. I think Tom bought me a lunch one day. I think I owe him a lunch back. But, yeah, no, Tom's great. You know, he's got two towns that I'll be hoping to represent, Plimpton and Halifax. And I saw him at an event recently with Lieutenant Governor Polito, who actually endorses me in the race, and had a chance to talk to him there. I look forward to a chance with working with him, you know, as a Senate partner for this district and the overlap we have.
The reason I ask about Tom in particular is, you know, his big issue right now. Do you?
I don't necessarily.
Do you think I got my cup?
Oh, the water. I'm sorry. The water issues for the Silver Lake Water agreement with Brockton, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think even members of the Water Commission. I was at a Water Commission meeting about a month and a half ago in Brockton, and even some of the commission members agreed that Brockton has been a bad actor in the way they've dealt with that water. You know, the towns have been stuck dealing with the chemicals they need to provide to keep the algae blooms from cropping up. And at the same time, Brockton keeps pumping water in, then out in such a way that disturbs it. And yes, it is a problem. Actually, the great thing is, you know, because the Senate seat covers Brockton and those towns.
It covers Brockton and Silver Lake Town.
This is a chance, I think, for, you know, real work to be done by me to try to solve the solution. And I really look forward to getting involved in this right away because it is something that I know they're very up in arms about in those towns that have that water. And look, I'm from Whitman, right? We get our water from Brockton, okay? We are very much involved in this as well, and they need to be good actors on what they're doing with that water that they've got. You know, the contract, as people may or may not know, that contract or that agreement from decades ago allowed Brockton to take that water at no cost, but the agreement was they would maintain those water sources, and they really haven't stepped up to do that. And I think they agree, and we just need to find a solution for that.
The 1964 law you're referring to.
That precedes me, unfortunately, but let's see if I can work on it.
Yes, the people from the Silver Lake towns, Kingston in particular, I think, would say, and Halifax, which is part of this district, that
Ponds a Pond.
You know, Brockton steals their water and sells it to Whitman.
Right, right. And again, without really being the contributor to maintaining that water, it's really being a bad actor in the process.
Okay. Kevin Tachi?
But I want to ask, but on the other end, how do you try to play facilitator without upsetting the balance in the district where you, almost like you'd be the parent in this, parent might be the strong word, but we want to make sure that the folks in the district are satisfied with whatever you're able to help facilitate broker any kind of an agreement when it comes to the, it's actually the Central Plymouth Water District, if I'm correct, right?
Central Plymouth County Water District Commission.
Yes. Commission. Of course, Charles wants to correct me. You Charles know, in charge. But the idea is, you know, were you satisfying the folks in the district who, you know, who have had access to it and then Brockton comes in having their water problems and kind of make sure that Brockton isn't kind of freezed out of it?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I know that the mayor of Brockton, Bill Carpenter, has been working on is potentially buying Aquaria, right? The water source that would theoretically give them the, you know, the water they need. And also, I think he's looking at a long-term cost savings of if you buy it, you you know, you're buying it at a rate that would be lower than the annual contract now, and then you'd have an asset at the end of the process. So, look, I know that it's not going to be a pretty, you know, situation as far as people in Brockton aren't necessarily going to be thrilled about having to, you know, spend more money to deal with this water issue. Something that's, I mean, the interesting thing about Brockton is it's sitting on its own water source. They have Aquaria, and then they have the Silver Lake, you know, sources that they're using. So they actually have, you know, various choices. They just need to do a better job of, I think, making the towns that we're all partners in happy. And by the way, Brockton, just on a slightly different tact here, also wants people from these towns to come in. They're doing a redevelopment of their downtown, trying to get more restaurants, trying to get more people living near the commuter rail and get that downtown done. They want people from the suburban areas to come in and you know, help spend money. So I think everybody needs to start getting along better, and I look forward to helping facilitate
that. I got a follow-up to that. You mentioned Brockton as far as buying Aquaria. That's what it is. Instead of leasing it, they have a long-term lease, and where it'll jump up incrementally over the years. I believe that if you got elected and you remain the state senator, they may have to go to you and the legislative group that represents Brockton to be able to, because where they're purchasing something that is not in the, it's down in Dighton. How do you feel about helping them if it comes to being able to? I think there has to be some kind of a home rule petition. Would you be on board with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, clearly the mayor is up for re-election in just the same time as I am, and that's 3 weeks from now. He's made it very clear that his goal is to buy Aquaria. I don't want to second guess the mayor, and I think that, you know, the people have who are on the Water Commission board are looking at the best solution for their residents. You know, one thing that's interesting is, you know, there was a vote on the casinos for Brockton, for example, and the people spoke. Now, they spoke by a slim margin. There's also the power plant issue in Brockton, and people haven't had a referendum on that. I think the other thing that we potentially might want to do, if this is a really big issue, which it is put it to the people and see what they think about purchasing Aquaria. I mean, let's get the paperwork in order. One problem with Aquaria, too, is they haven't been able to deliver even on the contract that they have as far as gallons that they're supposed to be delivering to the city. So we can't necessarily go forward with Aquaria if they're not living up to their contract. But let's look at the dollars and cents. If it makes sense to buy them and get them to be doing a better job, then maybe that's the way to go. It's still a long road to go.
Okay. I'm almost confused. I almost think you're running for at-large or ward council in Brockton. Okay, good.
Any more water questions, gentlemen?
No, I'm all
in. I have a glass in front of me, but so thank you very much, Jeffrey,
that's
for that.
That's Marshfield's finest water, which I think is very good, by the way. What's the main issue? We talked about the water, but what is the main issue or issues in the district that you feel you must begin working on immediately if you're elected to this seat, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there are three things that it may sound redundant to people, but taxes, the problem is that this state has a real history of continuing to go to taxpayers for more and more money all the time, and at the same time not tightening their own belt. So taxes is one thing. Creating jobs in the environment so that companies don't leave the state but actually stay and then grow, create that environment. And then even illegal immigration, to be honest with you, is a major problem still. We have a bill up there that's now being considered. It's called the Trust Act. And what it would do is it would actually reduce the ability for local police and federal law enforcement agencies to share information that can allow them to identify and take the bad actors who are here, not here trying to immigrate legally, it's very much like the secure communities. There was a time where law enforcement couldn't even act on people who had criminal histories who were here illegally. That's what the Trust Act does. It basically reduces law enforcement's ability to help with that. And then a fourth thing, too, is the drug crisis. It's an epidemic across the state, and in this area especially, it's a huge problem. It goes hand in hand with some of the problems with these gangs and the, I think, people who are here illegally that are profiting off of the misery and the death of our children right here in this district.
I can ask you another question. Maybe I sound like a social worker saying this, and I've asked this to a lot of people. You know, you can, it's great, you can have law enforcement, you can have education, you can have families, but as I'm going back to the 70s when I was a kid, of, you know, the era of bad music and fashion, kids are really influenced by their peers. and to change the peer culture where so much of it is acceptable to try drugs and want to experiment with things. You remember that feeling of being invincible? How do you change the peer culture that it's not cool to take drugs? That's a big job. Do you have any ideas about how you would do that?
Well, of course, as a father of two daughters, mm-hmm. I preach it, you know, all the time. I mean, whenever I read about something in the paper, I see my daughter that night, the oldest one and the youngest, and I say, please don't do drugs. You know, please, if you even think about you're getting peer pressured, please talk to me. Parents play a big part in this thing, okay? But also the state is able to play a part. We have put in this year's budget, Charlie Baker has made an effort to have more outreach with public safety officers at the schools to interact. I live in Whitman. We have a great DARE officer, and it happens in other towns too, that's in the classroom, in the hallways, talking to kids. They get a sense of what kids may be doing. They can kind of pick up on that and help get these kids to counselors or get somebody to intervene before it gets too late. That's another thing. But the other thing too is we've got to get drugs off the street. There's just a vote this last Wednesday, fentanyl. I don't know if you guys have heard of fentanyl,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
So fentanyl is one of the deadliest parts of the heroin epidemic right now. It's being cut into heroin, and it's, I think the percentage is like 50% more toxic. Mm-hmm. It actually results in, you know, not guaranteed overdoses, but it is like a killer to these kids. And they're getting them hooked on it when it's mixed with heroin and then switching them over to complete fentanyl. And what happened was there was a bill that passed this last Wednesday that criminalized it, okay? But it had no mandatory minimums to sentence those drug dealers who were caught trafficking fentanyl. I supported an amendment that should have passed. My opponent did not support an amendment to get those dealers off the street with mandatory minimums. You talk to DA Tim Cruz, he'll tell you it's the mandatory minimums that will get these guys off the street immediately, and that didn't happen.
Thank you. Question, gentlemen. Kevin Tachi for Mr. Deal.
I think Charles is
Charles in charge.
Charles is in charge. Yes.
Hmm. In the same area, Jeff, there's a move to legalize recreational marijuana. Some people, the aforementioned Tim Cruz included, says that is a gateway. Other people who are close to the opioid epidemic say no, the real gateway is OxyContin, oxycodone, as prescribed by doctors. Which side do you fall on? Is it oxycodone that's innocently prescribed, or marijuana?
I don't think it's exclusive. I think marijuana is a gateway. I am against the legalization of marijuana. It is already currently available to people who need it for medicinal purposes. In the city of Brockton, there is a dispensary for it. Okay. Here's my experience. I've talked to people from different groups, Learn to Cope. Susan Silva in the town of East Bridgewater has a group, EB Hope, for example, that meets every year for a vigil on the green. And she doesn't do that just once a year. She has a community organization. I talked to her. She's a parent of a child who had addiction issues. And most every parent I've talked to has said marijuana is the gateway to opiate use down the road. So while we may disagree, that's my view. I know the voters are going to have a choice at the ballot this coming year, most likely for full legalization of marijuana. At that point, we're going to have to look to Colorado to see what we can do to mitigate the effect of people as far as fines or for driving under the influence, for example, or how we can regulate it and make sure it's not being just make sure we handle it correctly. And we have to get ahead of that. As a legislature, I've talked to somebody about that. I know Senate President Rosenberg is actually trying to be proactive because we see that vote coming. And it may end up happening, but I'll tell you, I'm still against it.
What about the oxy side, the synthetic opiates? What would you do about that?
So we've already had, prescription drug tracking, which is supposed to be finding the doctors who are overprescribing, and also trying to track down at pharmacies where somebody is using a prescription and trying to get it filled at multiple locations. We've tried that end of the pipeline, and it's still obviously not fully effective. Obviously, there's drug take-back days where we encourage people, seniors or people who've had surgery, to try to return unused portions. That's another solution. But to be honest with you, I think, we also have to look at doctors and see what they're doing as far as prescribing. A lot of times people used to take Tylenol 3 as one of the strongest things they would take after, minor surgery or dental work. And now it seems like it's almost automatic that an opiate-based product is being prescribed. I don't know if the industry is trying to lead us down that road or if the doctors feel like we really need that kind of pain medication, but that is a problem. And then you get a kid with a sports injury, okay, and he ends up, having a concussion or something, getting an opiate based, solution, and then ends up hooked, because at a younger age, you become even more susceptible to being addicted.
Sports injuries are huge. I had a knee replacement. Well, two of us in the room
we did.
Mm-hmm. And the best analgesic that I found was ice.
ice and Aleve was better than I got. I think prescribed Dilaudid.
I'm not asking people to get a stick off the ground and bite the stick for a week or something like that. But I'm just saying, you know, we've got to be way
back in the day,
way more responsible with the prescriptions that we're giving out, especially to young kids.
Okay.
And you know what? And to seniors. I'm sorry. Seniors also can be susceptible. Look, they're already dealing with trying to make sure they take certain medications in those little boxes, right? And now all of a sudden, this opiate, you know, because of a surgery, they have this opiate thing that goes in the mix. And are they necessarily, you know, giving themselves the right doses? You know, we hope so. But you know, it's also another tough area.
Okay. Question. Gentlemen, Mr.
Yes.
Tachi.
All right, I got to ask you a tough question, and that is, when it comes to what's going on with political races, sometimes it can get dirty, or you know what, you see a lot of mudslinging depending on, you know, the type of race that it is, and recently the Democrats got out there and are trying to promote the fact that you're a Tea Party operative. Say that you're a Tea Party operative. You don't work well with your own members of your own party. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, so that's a great question. The thing is, this race is happening here in Massachusetts, you know, from Easton to Plimpton and the towns in between. And that is like a D.C., you know, Democratic National Committee tactic that's being used, like, you know, smear your opponent 101. The truth of the matter is, I cross party lines more, I think, than most anybody up at the legislature. And by the way, I mentioned Evan Falchuk, you know, working with him to protect taxpayers from the Olympic overruns. Meanwhile, my opponent wouldn't even stand up for a roll call vote to protect taxpayers on that. But let me say this, 146,000 people agreed with me that the automatic gas tax should be on the ballot as a ballot question to repeal, and 1.1 million people across the state voted with me, and we ultimately repealed that. I don't see how, you know, saying that I am out of step with people is at all accurate. In fact, it's my opponent, I believe, that's completely out of step, you know, taking his marching orders from the speaker, from special interest groups. I think what they're trying to do is just distract from the fact that it's, you know, my opponent likes to raise taxes every single opportunity available. And, you know, if anybody's radical in this thing, it's my opponent. He was the single vote against the budget this year. Everybody in his own party voted for the budget except him. Okay, so let's talk about reality and who's really working with other people and who isn't.
I guess my follow-up would be is do you feel that's a little bit of a fear? Because you kind of, you're known throughout the state because of your work regarding the repealing a link to CPI when it came to the gas tax. Do you feel that maybe the Democratic Party kind of fears you as far as because of how well you're known in the state?
I certainly hope they don't fear me. Look, I've had bipartisan support, like I said, on bills that I've filed, amendments I've filed. And I certainly have had a record, I think, of working with, you know, voting for things that party stands for as well. So the thing is, you know, how do I put this? I'm endorsed by, you know, Governor Baker, Lieutenant Governor Polito. I don't think they would get behind somebody that they don't see as having a proven track record of working within the legislature. There is the people in the legislature, and then there is a Democratic Party that's job is to try to keep as many Republicans out as they can. This is just purely a campaign tactic to try to, you know, make me look less appealing in the eyes of people. But quite honestly, like I said, I've been working for the people since the day I started. I won't stop in the Senate, and that's who I take my orders from, the people who elect me.
Okay. Hey, let's do some lightning round questions, then we're going to closing statement. Okay.
Lightning round.
Yes,
excellent.
Lightning round. Okay.
I took yes or no, maximum two sentences.
I tried to guess what you have, so let's see what happens here.
Okay.
What's your favorite bad habit?
Favorite bad habit? Oh, my gosh.
That has to be a bad habit. It has to be your bad habit.
Yeah, a real one. Not a fake one, like, I guess I work too hard.
Yeah.
None of that. You're not on a job interview.
I just love WATD too much, right?
Okay. Yeah, one of those. Yeah. I mean, it would get you some brownie points, but we'd still ask you the question again.
Oh, my gosh. Worst bad habit. I stay up too late. I mean, I stay up late. I really am a late night guy.
So am I.
Yeah. And that, you know, I don't know what, that's it. Okay. Lightning round, stay up late.
The one type of tax that you wouldn't have an issue voting for. Give me one or two sentences.
That is, I mean, it's an impossible question because I also know that there's no need to add additional taxes. If we grow the jobs and the companies here, we'll get the additional revenue. There's two ways to look at taxation. One is you make an environment where we make more money because everybody's working, or you have to raise taxes because people are leaving the state. I don't think we're going to need to. I'm endorsed by Citizens for
Limited
Taxation.
Lightning round. Quickly.
There is no tax I see right now that we need to
I haven't asked this for a while, but I have to because I know that Dan Pallotta will be listening. County government, stay or is it time to go?
I think it can stay.
Two sentences.
I know, two sentences. It can stay. It just, you know, the problem is they're losing revenue to the state's been taking revenue they can use to operate. So it just needs to, I think it needs some revamping, but it can stay.
Okay. Lightning round, Charlie.
The new favorite question. What's your cell phone and carrier?
Oh, I'm a Sprint guy. And by the way, people can call me anytime. 781-252-0512. I am always available to people.
What do you have in your pocket?
I literally empty my pockets before I go on the radio. I don't want anything jingling.
I mean, for a phone.
Oh, for a phone. A Sprint. Samsung. Galaxy 6, I want to say, probably.
All right, I'm going to throw a Charlie question on you. On a plane, do you prefer a window seat or aisle?
Oh, my gosh. Well, actually, I need the exit row aisle. I'm 6'2". And my mom's a flight attendant. Was a flight attendant for
window
4 years.
Window or aisle seat?
I have to be aisle.
Okay, let's go to closing statement. I'd say statements, but the other two candidates are not here. Again, Mr. Brady running as the Democrat in this district. Never got a clear answer on why he wasn't going to be here tonight. And Anna Grace Raddick, the unenrolled person who called or texted, I believe, over an hour ago saying she was on the street, but still haven't seen her. So let's go to you, Jeff Deal, your closing statement.
Well, again, thank you for having me on here. I appreciate the questions, and quite honestly, this is a really important race, and the voters of the 2nd Plymouth-Bristol District have a clear choice, in my opinion, for the next state senator. You're going to choose someone who wants to either protect taxpayers from the constant barrage of tax increases, which my opponent always votes for, or you can choose someone who wants to create a better environment for small businesses so we can grow those jobs instead of over-regulating and taxing companies until they decide to seek a friendlier state to relocate to. Side note, the tech tax, for example. Take a look at that. It was repealed 6 weeks after it was enacted. Anyway, you can choose someone who also wants to restore integrity to the immigration system rather than making it harder to enforce the laws of our state and country, which is the record of my opponent, who's also voted, by the way, to allow our scarce resources to go to those who come to this country illegally, and who's a co-sponsor of legislation that will make Massachusetts basically a sanctuary state for illegal immigrants. And there's also two ways to pay for the core services of our state government. You know, we need reliable transportation, quality high schools for our children, health care and services for our veterans and seniors. And so the option one is we cut through the red tape of regulation and fees and encourage businesses to come to our state and create more jobs and grow that tax base by addition to the workforce. Or we go with option two, which is the path we will go down based on the record of my opponent, which is more regulations and taxes that are enacted, driving people and companies out of the state, causing a depletion of the tax revenue, forcing us to pay more and more each year with very little in return. So I'm asking you, the listener, to vote for me, Jeff Deal, on November 3rd, because I want to leave a better future for my kids, your children, and the generations to come.
Thank you very much. That was State Rep Jeff Deal, one of the candidates running for the 2nd Bristol and Plymouth Senate seat, asking questions along with me here. We're the host of Monday Night Talk, Kevin Tachi and WATD's Charles Mathewson. Remember, on election night, November 3rd, WATD will be providing you complete election coverage in this race, in the mayoral races in Brockton, in Quincy, and in Weymouth, and we will bring you those reports. Our election show starts at 8 o'clock, and always November 3rd is Election Day, Tuesday. And remember, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James for 95.9 WATD. Kevin Tachi?
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to have an encore presentation of anybody who's a fan of reality shows. Storage Wars just started their new season, and we're going to have a couple of folks from Storage Wars coming up in just a couple of moments. Stay tuned. You're listening to Monday Night Talk right here on 95.9 WATD.